to the No Fly Zone. This is your host, Adam Drywabis, and I am back after my brief hiatus. And I'm ready to cover some 205 Live action tonight. I apologize for the brief break to my listeners, as sometimes life happens. So, got a lot of wrestling to watch in a week, and sometimes 205 Live doesn't make the cut. So, I'm all caught up and ready to go over some shit here tonight. So, let's get into it. We're going to start out. We'll do a brief recap of the past 2 weeks, because if you're listening to this, you've probably seen them. And if you rely on me to bring you recaps of 205 Live, I'm sorry, because... yeah, you probably just watch it. I don't know how in depth or, you know, what kind of coverage I actually give here. I think I just mostly just sit here and talk shit for as long as I feel like until I get tired of speaking. So let's jump right in here. We'll do some recap here, and then we'll get into a couple other brief things. So, all right, here we go. For the 1024 episode, which is labeled episode 48, we had Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander against Noam Dar and Tony Nese. And we had Swann eating most of the offense here. We get some dual bicycle kick sit-ups from Nese and Dar. Nese is not impressed with Noam Dar's form. He tries to correct that for him. Highlight of the match. In the end, we get a lumbar check. Noam Dar is added to the lumbar checklist, and we move on. Gallagher and Kendrick are at the top of the stage, and they are applauding Alexander, say that he has some potential and he has a cruelty about him, but he needs to separate from Swann, who is a dancing clown. And they're coming for Rich Swann next week. So, Rich Swann has moved on from the dreadlock-stealing TJ Perkins, who is MIA. And now he's dealing with a pirate and a gentleman. I don't know if he's still called a gentleman. I don't know what his nickname is now. He's more dastardly these days, so we'll go with Dastardly Jack, or Jack the Ripper, as Corey called him. And next up, we get Drew Gulak, my boy, who I might have to disassociate with his recent allegiance with Enzo. I understand the mouthpiece thing. I actually think, you know what, I'm gonna go with the angle that Drew Gulak is doing this mostly for himself, to get himself over and not to benefit Enzo Amore in any way, shape, or form. So that's a story I'm going to stick with for right now. And there's absolutely no consistency with most of this booking when it comes to 205 Live, between Raw and 205 Live. So we'll ride that out. We'll just say that's what he's doing. He's getting himself over to promote his brand. So anyway, he's staging a protest. Something about Akira Tozawa, and there will be no matches, and he's going to do his entire PowerPoint presentation instead of having matches for the rest of the night. Guys, if you listen to this, it's been well documented. I'll sit through the whole fucking thing. I have no qualms about it. Line it up. 2 hour special. Every single one. 277 or whatever it is. Let's get the entire thing. I'm down. Network special. Let's do it. So anyway, Grand Metal League breaks crucial rule that seems to be broken every week, and he interrupts. We have a match. Metal League breaks more rules with some middle rope jumps, some top rope jumps, but Gulak winds up finishing him off with a Dragon Sleeper, and it's nice to see Mr. Gulak get a pin here. So for tonight, Arya Daivari is the voice of Enzo Amore. And we get the rematch between him and Kalisto. And Kalisto, of course, is getting the better of him here. He violates rule number one, goes up top. Enzo kicks the ref into him, knocks Kalisto off the top rope, and he gets himself DQ'd, thus holding on to his meal ticket. And that's that episode. So that was the 10/24 episode. We're going to move on to the Halloween special, which was a clusterfuck in itself, but interesting nonetheless. So we got Gulak opening up. Once again, always a pleasure. He asks where his ghouls are and gets the response that you would assume he would get there, and he probably deserves. And he has a PowerPoint set up for Halloween specifically. And on the screen in his PowerPoint presentation is his face photoshopped into a pumpkin. If you haven't watched this, go back and watch this episode solely for that minute and a half. Rule number one is no candy. It says if you want something sweet, choose sweet potatoes. He's got a point. Sweet potatoes are significantly more healthy than any other kind of sweet. Especially sweets handed out on Halloween. Number two is no trick-or-treating. Before he gets into why there's no trick-or-treating, Kira Tozawa, once again, breaking rules, interrupts. Winds up going over Drew Gulak here with the... It took him probably a solid minute to get this senton set up. I don't have a problem with top rope moves as finishers, but Jesus Christ, it's got to take less time than this for it to even remain a shred, like to even keep a shred of believability here. This took forever for him to set up. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, dude, did he hit him with a fucking sledgehammer to put him out for that long? So anyway, that happened. We get Swan and Alexander. They come out dressed as clowns, especially Rich Swan. And he comes out to doing the clown's music. And he will be taking on... I don't even remember which one he wrestled. Oh, it was Brian Kendrick. Jesus. And he's taking on Brian Kendrick here. He is in full clown gear, nose, big yellow, baggy, like jumpsuit type deal. And he's got gigantic clown hands on. And he goes for a giant hand test of strength, which Kendrick, for some reason, obliges him. And that was about the highlight of the match, as Kendrick goes for the slice bread number two. Swan pushes him off, hits a roundhouse kick, drops him, hits the middle rope Phoenix splash for the 1-2-3. So, Kendrick and Gallagher's teaming up here isn't going stellar, I would have to assume, or not assume, as I would have to say after evident of the past few weeks. So we get the trick-or-treat bullshit match. I don't know what it's actually called. I don't care. Needless to say, this was a lot more fun than the fucking garbage that we got on Raw. I think there was even one on SmackDown. I don't know. I haven't even watched SmackDown on Halloween. But Mustafa Ali really tries to make the most of this. He was really working hard here. He starts out by trying to give everybody candy. He has to inform Grand Metalik that he needs to take his mask off to eat the candy, which he does. He takes a bite. He enjoys it. It's a great moment. And Arya Daivari, you know, he takes a piece of candy. And he tries to offer it to Tony Nese, and there's eight reasons why Tony Nese ain't taking that candy. And, so we get a jumbled mess of Halloween chaos. And Daivari goes for a table, brings in the ring. Tony Nese emerges, I think it was Tony Nese or Daivari, one of the two, emerges with a bag from under the ring, which you're led to believe was thumbtacks, which I immediately knew was candy corn, because of course it is. And they set up the table. Of course, we get thumbtack table spot that is all candy corn. Yeah. So, he goes through that. I think it was Nice. I didn't write any of it down. I just watched it and forgot about it. It's very professional of me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Nice went through it after Mustafa Ali reversed something and put him through it. Big bump. Candy corn everywhere. And Ali wins the match with a broomstick leg drop for the win on Daivari. Big time witch spot there to end the match. So that's where we're at. And yeah, let's get into this. Whatever the fuck this was tonight. So they're over in Manchester, and I don't even know why the fuck they filmed that episode tonight, to be totally honest with you. It was such a throwaway. It did really nothing for the UK guys, and the crowd was possibly dead. There might have been literal corpses in the crowd. So, we had Pete Dunne beating Enzo on Raw. And for some reason, Pete Dunne did not viciously assault Enzo the entire match. I mean, he beat him up pretty good, but Enzo was still getting, you know, he hit the rope spot and was getting some offense in on him, which, whatever. Especially after how all the commentators hyped up how violent and aggressive Pete Dunne was. Whatever. So Pete Dunne wins with the Kalisto distraction after Enzo tried to use the ropes for leverage. Pete Dunne smashes Enzo with a fucking brutal forearm, puts him in the turnbuckle, which is their go-to spot. Every goddamn night, it seems like they're doing some spot where somebody hits their fucking head on the turnbuckle. It is getting played out. And it's lazy, in my humble opinion. Hits the bitter end. 1, 2, 3. UK champ pins. Cruiserweight champ. And then Kalisto, fucking Kalisto, gets in that ring and he raises Pete Dunne's hand. And Pete Dunne didn't fucking murder him. What the fuck did I just watch? I was appalled. I don't think I have ever been as offended watching the WWE as I was in that moment. Pete Dunne gave him a scowl and then kind of a smirk. And I was like, he is going to turn around and Kalisto is going to turn around and he's going to blast him with this title. The roof is going to blow off. Pete Dunne's going to give his fucking shit-eating grin to the camera, hold up his title, and walk right the fuck in the back, and everybody's gonna love it. No. Instead, we have Kalisto giving him the rub. Fuck you. Just fuck you. What kind of shit is that? Oh, God. I was just disgusted. Just absolutely disgusted with what I witnessed. Pete Dunne should just beat everybody up. Everybody that got near him. Fucking, I didn't even think that they were saying on Red Zone this week. He should have just beat the fucking of everybody. He should have pulled somebody out of the crowd and beat him up. That's Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne doesn't get a fucking rub from Kalisto. Pete Dunne beats Kalisto up and bites his face. Jesus Christ. Can they fucking do anything right at this point? This is, oh God. Just cut these guys loose. Fucking let them go. Anyway, now we're going to get into this shit. So, we get the premiere of the Zoe show, and he lost to a guy who he doesn't know his name. That would be Pete Dunne. Everybody chants Bruiserweight. Enzo plays off that and says, that's right, Loserweight. I can't even tell if Enzo's funny or annoying at this point. I think he's a little bit of both, but like, I don't even know, because he gets on the mic, and there's some stuff that he says is pretty clever, but he just goes on way too goddamn long, and after a while, my eyes start spinning like a fucking cartoon, and I don't know what he's saying anymore. So he says that the Zoe train didn't make it over to the UK, and he doesn't blame them, but realistic, they just didn't bring anybody over for the cruiserweight, which, good show of faith, guys. You should, like I said, they should have just fucking scrapped this episode or pre-taped it or something. So we get some of the UK guys that were in the tournament come out. We get Jordan Devlin, Tucker, James Drake, stupid Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, and Joseph Connors, I believe it is. I think the last name's Connors. I'm pretty sure it's Joseph Connors. He didn't even say shit in this segment, so that's, I'm sorry if I got his name wrong. He goes to Jordan Devlin first, and we play a little bit of good guy, bad guy here. Goes Jordan Devlin. Enzo brings up his association with Finn Balor, that he was trained by him. Shit Finn Balor says that his relationship with Finn Balor ended after training, and he is here for money and fame. Enzo pretty much says that's my guy. So he's good. He goes to Tucker, and he says that, you know, brings out that Tucker spent some time in the ring with Balor. And Tucker responds by saying Enzo and Devlin aren't half the man that Finn Balor is. Enzo just looks at him and says, whatever, keeps moving. James Drake says something about, he goes to James Drake and says something about he's Mayhem and Allstate and something. And Drake responds saying, choo-choo. Enzo does a dance around the ring. Zoe Train is about to take off. We get Shitty Mandrews. I'm sorry, I am not a Mark Andrews fan at all. Extremely talented. I don't care. I really don't. I can't even point out what it is. I just don't. I don't give a shit. Sorry, Mark Andrews, if you ever hear this. I appreciate what you do. You're a fine talent, but I don't give a shit. And he doesn't even give Andrews a chance to say anything. Says he needs to start eating salads and to get on a treadmill. So I guess that's, you know, it's supposed to be a little... Because Andrews is like 160 pounds, if that. He's not a big fella at all, but kick and fly. Anyway, so we get the Tyler Bate. This is awkward if you follow the internet due to the Liv Morgan situation, where if you are not privy to the rumors, Liv and Enzo broke up, I guess, and Tyler Bate and her were kind of going back and forth on Twitter, flirting a little bit. So Tyler Bate gives him the most shit-eating grin ever when he shakes his hand, which kind of cracked me up. Crowd sings for Tyler Bate and says he can't imagine what he would... Can't imagine being told to do by Enzo's screechy voice. And he... Enzo responds by saying that maybe Bate can be his butler. Bate responds with a little bop and bang. Drops Enzo. Enzo scrambles. And Kalisto comes out while Enzo's scrambling back up the stage. Then we roll into Kalisto and Gallagher. Gallagher has his create a wrestler, William Regal music. He returns a new man. And he is bigger than Manchester and he is bigger than England. Okay, so not a bad match. You know, obviously that opening segment was like 17 minutes or something like that. Like it was just ridiculously long. So we're kind of, we have three matches after this. So obviously nobody's getting time tonight. Like I said, not a bad match. Gallagher logs in a Fujiwara armbar, has Kalisto in the middle of the ring. Kalisto powers out, hits Salida del Sol off the ropes for the pin. And it was a pretty cool counter. You know, that's kind of the nice part about having a move like that for Kalisto is you can pretty much hit it from anywhere, and it's believable. So, and it really works on smaller guys. You know, it's a little more of a believable move on smaller guys because you're essentially just doing a backflip. But, yeah, I mean, he springboards off the ropes and hits it. And, yeah, Gallagher is left in a pile of whatever. So, next up, we have Enzo backstage. And he goes off on a tangent about Tyler Bate. Says he's closed out bar tabs worth more than Tyler Bate has made in his entire life. That brings us up to Cedric Alexander and Mandrews against Drake and Connors. Yeah. You know what it is? It's the wave. When Mandrews comes out and he does the wave, that's what it is. That's what drives me insane, and I can't look past it. And he puts on some tremendous matches, especially with, like, Pete Dunne. And it's, they're solid, but this is the issue that I have with Will Ospreay, and I know people are going to disagree with me, and that is absolutely fine. But about a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, my issue with Will Ospreay was everything seemed very, very forced. All of his spots, they seemed very forced. I enjoy when guys hit their spots that they look like they belong in the match, not that guys have to position into them. And, you know, it just seems like everything has to, like, be forced into an area to make just that spot work instead of organically using it in the flow of the match. Will Ospreay looks, it doesn't look like that anymore at all with his matches. It seems like everything kind of fits. You know, he just has more of a flow, you know, and it's been showing. His matches have been getting a lot more recognized. Like, Jay White match in Ring of Honor was amazing. And then you had the Kushida matches. His stuff with Skrull's always great. You know, he's just become, he's gotten a lot better, in my opinion, in the past 8 to 12 months. And I think he's being recognized for it. But that, this is like my issue with Mark Andrews, is that a lot of his shit is very forced, it seems like. Like when he hits the stun dog, and like, who the fuck's going for like a regular suplex at like the 13 minute mark of a match? You know what I mean? Like, that's the shit that kind of is like, it's just such an unnatural looking spot. It's a cool move, but it's just so unnatural looking sometimes. It makes sense if a dude has like a brain buster or, you know, a Falcon Arrow or any kind of move like that in their moveset that they use late. Just doesn't make sense for a guy that just never uses suplexes to just go for a vertical suplex at, you know, three quarters of the way through a match. So if you hear any clinking and shit around, my door wound up being open and my dog is pacing, so I apologize. And if you don't, well, man, don't worry about it. But anyway, so we get Mark Andrews and Alexander, like I said, against Connors and Drake. And naturally, Mark Andrews eats most of the offense here. And, you know, we get our usual tag match chaos. Cedric hits a springboard, like, where he comes back and just basically kicks him in the face with the heels. He hits a double on that. As he hits that, Mark Andrews hits a fairly pleasant on the eyes looking shooting star press onto Connor's legs for the win. And yeah, he gets some height on this thing. Kid's got a good looking shooting star press. And then we get a Tyler Bate vignette, and then we get Bate and Enzo, and this starts out exactly like it should. Just Bate pretty much toying with him, wrestling circles around him, doing whatever he wants. We go outside and Enzo pops him up on the barrier. Kind of hurts Bate's ribs. Bate fights back, but Enzo cuts him off. And then we kind of get a little back and forth. And then Bate takes over again, goes up on top. Enzo knocks him off the top rope. He kind of hangs a leg between, you know, he gets his kind of like, if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, picture somebody falling off the top to the outside. They make it look like their knee gets hung up between the top and middle rope. He goes out, sells a knee injury. Enzo just starts taunting him, brings him in the ring, hits a big lariat to flip Bate over, hits Joe Dunzo, and pins Tyler Bate clean in the middle of the fucking ring. And then he starts beating on Tyler Bate after. Kalisto comes out, makes the save. I don't even know what the fuck to think about this. I wish somebody else was doing this with me right now, because I would love to be able to play off of somebody right now, but I can't even rationalize what the fuck I just saw. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I just watched this and I was like, I read the results and I was like, okay, well, maybe Enzo cheated some. No, he didn't even fucking cheat. He just pushed him off the top and then he pinned him clean. I understand he's a cruiserweight champion. Motherfucker doesn't win clean against anybody. There's always some fuckery involved. I am swearing a lot tonight, but this shit is stupid. That's why. So, he doesn't beat anybody clean. He always cheats. There's always a ref involved. There's always an eye poke. Low blow. He beat Tyler Bate, the first UK champion, who obviously they saw something in. Went two brilliant matches in the WWE with Pete Dunne. He lost a fucking clean to Enzo. Like, what are you doing? You're in England. I understand if this is like maybe Wichita, Kansas, and you need to bring in a guy, and you're like, oh, he's the first UK champ, and then Enzo pulls one out. Dude, you're in England. Like, and this is what you send him out on? This is the last televised thing over there. And you, whatever. I mean, AJ won earlier in the night. Crowd seemed gone, but like, the fuck are you doing? You know, it's, and then he gets like beat down after the match. Like, Jesus Christ, man, that's just, I don't get it. Just cut those guys fucking loose, let them do something else if that's what they're gonna be. Because right now, it's just like, Dunn comes around here and there, you know. I mean, they pop pretty big for him on Raw, but, you know, what is this contract? Like, they're not doing a show. They're not running any UK shit. They're not doing UK-only shows. They're not doing anything with the UK except occasionally bringing, you know, Bate, Dunn, Seven, Mandrews, Wolfgang, Danny Burch is in NXT. You know, you're not bringing these guys in to do shit. So, what is the point? They should just sign him to a quick contract for the fucking tournament, let him do the tournament, and then just cut him loose, because at this point, they're doing nothing. Like, Gargano, I guess, is wrestling done at TakeOver for the UK championship. It's not even going to be on the fucking show. It's like, not. I read it's not even going to be on the network. So, like, I don't know. I don't know. It just makes no sense. Maybe they should have just done a UK show instead of 205 Live and just done a bunch of good matches and let those people watch their local guys do some shit. I don't know. But, like, you don't even fly most of these guys over, so you put every storyline on halt for a week, and then you don't even, like, give the fans something to go home happy on. You have Enzo beating Tyler Bate clean after an injury. Get the fuck out of here. You see that dude's legs telling me he can't power through that shit? Tyler Bate's built like a fucking Clydesdale. Like, come on. Whatever. Anyway, fuck that. Hideo Itami is rumored to be the next name being called up to 205 Live. If he is, if he doesn't come in and smash Enzo in about 38 fucking seconds, just cut him, send him back to Noah. Who gives a shit? Neville's apparently being held hostage by Vince. I guess it was widely circulated that Aries asked for his release, and apparently it's not the case. As he stated on Chris Jericho's podcast, he just said that he wouldn't talk about it because he during his 90-day no-compete that he was still being paid for the company. He said he felt he owed it to the company to not say anything about the release and decided that he would do it on Chris Jericho's podcast. And he said they didn't have anything in creative for him. And that was it. So he went, and he's taking bookings now, and he's got a bunch of shit coming up, and I'm excited to see what Austin Aries can do in the indies. And, you know, I'm sure he's getting close to the end. He's 39, I believe he said. Yeah, I think he's 39. So, you know, he's got maybe a couple years left, but I could see him maybe coming back in some capacity and doing, you know, some training, some development, maybe even be like a mouthpiece or something, as he stated. You know, that's what he said he would do. So I would love to see Aries come back as a mouthpiece for somebody. I really think that a good manager, it's not even underrated. It's just not utilized. So we'll see. I'm sure he'll go around for a couple more years here. And, you know, good luck to him. But, yeah, the rumor out was this strangely quiet Neville situation. Was that Neville is basically being held to his contract at this point, and they're not going to release him. So I don't know what's left on it. I didn't do any research. I don't even believe anything I read. I just say shit that I read and really have no opinion of it. So I just put it on here just because it's relevant. So we'll see. I mean, it's until I actually see some concrete, you know, evidence or an actual story or something from him, then it's just all hearsay and speculation. So who knows? Other than that, I don't think there's much else to report on. I don't think I've talked about Leo Rush's dumb shit incident. That's stupid. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, that was like 3 weeks ago at this point, but still doesn't, I don't know what you're thinking with that tweet, but I'm not Leo Rush, so I don't know. But, yeah, it was dumb, and I thought the responses were kind of dumb, too. I think, like, I don't know. People handling that shit on Twitter is a little embarrassing, especially when you work for the same company. Like, I couldn't imagine, you know, some dude at work says some stupid shit online, and then, like, everybody at work starts blowing them up. It's just like, handle that shit at work, you know. I know they're not all in the same locker room, but there's plenty of veterans down in NXT that could have handled that. And, you know, it's whatever. So I think that's about it. I don't really have any fantasy bookings. Just kind of waiting to see what happens when we get back to the States here. We do have Enzo and Kalisto is slated for Survivor Series, so I don't know if we're going to get a 205 Live Cruiserweight, you know, Survivor Series match. Maybe on the pre-show, but at this rate, nothing's really set. We do kind of have like a split in the locker room, so I think that that makes sense. But I do not know if that's what's going to happen. I really hope it does, because this title is being defended at Survivor Series from what I understand. But there's a lot of matches set. This is going to be a marathon, once again, as far as a pay-per-view goes. It actually looks exciting, though. I'm going to just admit it. They did announce Cena for SmackDown today, which does fucking nothing for me. It's just the usual, like, all right, just bring Cena in, no rhyme or reason. And actually, Rusev, like, called it out. He's like, congratulations, man, you earned it. That dude, if you don't follow Rusev on Twitter, do it. It's amazing. The dude is something special with the shit that he puts out there. Like, he is in just no give a fucks mode right now with what he says, and it is fantastic. Yeah, I think that's about it. So this is just kind of like getting back into it here. Like I said, I just, shit happened and I couldn't get in here. I just didn't have time to really sit down and watch and take notes. This shit takes a little while to put together. especially three episodes at once. I just kind of skimmed the first two, so if I missed anything or got anything wrong, I apologize. But I was flying through these trying to get this show together, and hopefully I did a respectable job. And sorry about the language. Hopefully nobody's listening to this at work or anything like that. That end of that had me a little wound up. I just don't get it. Somebody can explain it to me. Please do. I'm all ears. I don't get it. Let's see what else. So we'll see what happens here. I believe we have one more episode before. That'll probably be like a wrap-up episode. Maybe we will set up a Survivor Series match next week on 205 Live. And, we'll go from there. So maybe projected rosters. I will throw a prediction out. I will say Ali, Swan, Alexander, Tazawa, and I don't know who else is a face. Metalik, maybe. And they'll go against Kendrick, Gallagher, Nice, Star, and Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation. All right, I'm fucking done. Happy Rusev Day, guys. Bye.